Y'all know what's ready? So, whenever y'all ready, just raise your hand. I'm serious too now. All right, we're going to go to Deuteronomy 21:18, and that's part of our Torah portion. He says, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives, and they shall say to the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. Whenever I read that, I looked up and I said, thank you, Lord. Because if this law was in effect whenever I was a young man, I would be dead. I'd have never survived through it because I was stubborn, I was a drunkard, I was hard-headed. So anyway, I had one of them moments. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, let's see here. All right. Anybody else want to comment on that? Because I know some of y'all wouldn't be alive either, and y'all laughing at me. Another thing I noticed about that, they didn't say daughter, so I don't know what's going on with that. He just said son. I didn't look too far in it because I didn't want to be disappointed. All right, let's go to Isaiah 53:7. And again, this is in our Torah portion. And it says he's talking about Jesus, Yeshua. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And that one stuck out to me because he said that he opened not his mouth. Regardless of the stuff that he was going through, regardless of what people said about him, all the things that was going on, he didn't open his mouth. And it reminded me of me, how many times did I open up my mouth whenever I probably shouldn't have? And not just probably, I know I shouldn't have. You know? And so anyway, I wanted to make sure that I knew what these words meant. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. All right? So I went and I looked at him. And oppressed means to be hard-pressed. And, you know, we can be hard-pressed financially. We can be hard-pressed because, you know, we just went through a hurricane. We can be hard-pressed because of our family and friends, especially with all the changes we're making. You know, we're not celebrating the holidays anymore, and that was tough. And we were hard-pressed. And, you know, and how many times I said something about that and I shouldn't have. And maybe at work. You know, maybe we're hard-pressed at work. Things are not going the way we want them to go. You know, and should we be saying something about it? Or should we say, you know, something? I know this is where God has me, so this is where I'm going to be. And, you know, whenever somebody says something bad about us. And afflicted means rejected. So, I mean, nobody likes rejection. I got rejected about this week, actually. I put a bid on a job and a guy rejected. I'm like, what you mean? This ain't never happened to me. You can't be doing this. No, I didn't tell him that. But anyway, so what I did, right? This is what we do. So he called me up. He says, Herman, I think this is too much for what you're asking. I said, well, you know, I don't do jobs like I used to. Most folks who want me to do a job for them, they want me to put a bid in. or they want me to give them a price. That way they know what they're paying. They don't pay me, but I'm not doing it by the hour anymore. Well, he says, this is too much. I'm going to do it myself. I said, well, if that's the way you feel. So anyway, I hung up the phone, right? So you start thinking about all the things. Because I got to bring this guy some money. Because of, you know, something. I used this boat. Well, actually, I worked for him, and I lost something. And I kept looking for it. I could never find it, and I forgot about it. Well, he reminded me of it that day. You know, all this is, it's been about 8 months, and he didn't remind me about it. But whenever he thought I was charging him too much for a job, he made sure and said, by the way, you owe me $30. Okay. All right, I'm no problem. I'll bring you $30. Well, on the way there, I'm thinking about all the stuff I'm going to tell this guy, right? Because he rejected my offer. And it was fair. It was very fair. If he hired somebody else to do it, they'd have charged him twice that much. So I'm saying, well, I'm going to tell this guy, you know. So on my way over there, I'm thinking about all of this stuff I'm going to tell him. Whenever I open up my door, Holy Spirit's like, you better not say a word. So I didn't just give him 30, I gave him 40. And he said, I have some change. I said, no, I don't want the change. I said, that's for your troubles. It was no trouble. I said, well, to me it was. So just keep the change. And we talked a little bit and we left. So anyway, that was my first experience of being rejected for a job. And so anyway, whenever that happens, there's things that we want to say and things that we want to do. And these things we know that we shouldn't be doing. But anyway, we'll try to convince ourselves this is the right thing to do when we know it's not. So anyway, let's move on. So Jesus didn't open his mouth regardless of all the stuff he went through. He was hard pressed. He was rejected. But he kept his mouth shut because it was the right thing to do. All right, in the latter part, let me read the second half of that. 53:7. All right, and then he says, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. So again, you know, and I wanted to be sure that I'm familiar with what they're talking about here. And, you know, a sheep going to its shearer, I couldn't find anything on it. But if it was me and somebody's, you know, whenever I'm getting my hair cut, I don't want to move. Not that I get haircuts anymore, but I used to, you know. But I didn't want to move. And they didn't want you to move because they cut you. So anyway, but it up. But he says here, like a lamb that is led to slaughter. All right? Whenever they're leading a lamb to slaughter, the lamb doesn't know about it. Because if he did, what you think would be going on? I know what I'd be. I'd be going crazy. Right? I'm wanting to get away from them. Well, Yeshua knew. But yet, he kept his mouth shut. Didn't say anything. And he knew. Didn't cut up, didn't cut the rug. I'd have been doing all of that. But he didn't. Anybody has anything? No? Y'all sitting on them notes, huh? Okay. All right. We're going to go to Proverbs 18. And the reason why we want to go there is because Jesus knew to be silent. And there was a reason why he knew. We know he didn't read the Brit Hadishah because they didn't write the Brit Hadishah yet. So he went to the Torah. In this case, the Psalms. I mean, Proverbs. Yeah, I said Proverbs, right? Okay, Proverbs 12:18. He said, there is one who speaks rashly, like the thrust of a sword. So whenever you're speaking to somebody, I mean, you're speaking so harsh to them that it feels like you're actually cutting them. You're thrusting them with the sword. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. I mean, if you look at Jesus' life, I mean, that's what he did, you know. He spoke to bring healing, even though it didn't seem like it. That's what it was for. In Psalms 141:3. And, you know, this is one of them prayers I think we can all afford to have. It says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. I know I need to pray this more often. You know, but then, you know, it's like, there's so much to pray for, but that's why he says we should be led by Holy Spirit. Because he says that we don't know how to pray. He said, but the Spirit does. Anybody got anything? No? The king's wrath, 12, okay.
Just the one right after the one you read.
All right, yeah. Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? At the moment.
Fan them back down.
You know, at the moment, it does that. But when I go by myself to God, and I go and I ponder and I pray on it, and a lot of times I got to go back to Jesse and I got to say, you know what, babe? That was the truth. At the time, I didn't want to hear it, you know, because it hurts. Everybody knows the truth hurts, you know? At the time, I didn't want to hear it, but when I went and I got it, I was healing. Like, it was healing. It brought healing. Mm-hmm. You know, in certain areas of my life, certain areas of my thinking, or certain areas of my feeling, you know, what I'm thinking, you know. So sometimes, yeah, it's good to keep our mouth shut, but sometimes it's good to go and say the truth. Because at the moment, is it going to hurt? Sure. You know, but in the long run, it's going to be a healing to us. You know, and we need to go to that person individually or that group individually or whatever, individually. It's hard. A lot of times it's hard to tell the truth, you know, or to speak the truth. But once we do it, you know, it's going to heal both parties, I believe. You know, so I like that part where it says the tongue of the wise brings healing. And that's what I pray for, is for the wisdom of God for me to say what I need to say at the right time that needs to be said. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times, like Jesse said, or you were saying, we want to go say what we want to say. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just human nature. Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell them. You know, but like you said, when you got to that place, and before you opened the door, you know, Herman, you don't say a word. You know what I'm saying?
No.
So it brought, it was the wise, the tongue of the wise is healing. I like that part right there.
Yep. Amen. Yeah, and we have our moments, you know, where we do that. But it's to maintain that. You know, that's the tough part, to maintain, but we can. And how do we know we can? It's because Yeshua did it. He's our way example. You know, Yeshua didn't go through all the things he went through, so we didn't. No, he was our example to show us how we can go through it and come out and be successful doing it. And you know, a sports athlete, they strive for the perfect game. Man, that's what they strive for. You know, they want to have that perfect game. And, you know, whenever I got to this, let's read. Let me see. I didn't write it down. I'm going to find it. It's in our Torah portion. I think it's in... Matthew. All right, it's in Luke 23:25. He says, he released a man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Yeshua over to their will. And whenever I was reading that, you know, I stopped there because the will, our will is something that we really underestimate the power of the will. The power of the will is incredible. You know, you think about the will of God, how incredible that is, the will of God for our life, and how not so incredible our own will is. You know, but he says that he handed them over to their will. So I stopped there and I was thinking about it. And the Lord showed me this picture. You know, he showed me a straight line, and he said, this is your will. And then he showed me a line above that, and he says, this is my will. And he showed me a picture of what are them things that show the heartbeat in a hospital? All right, that's easy. A heart monitor. He showed me this heart monitor. And he showed the lines going up and down. And he says, this is your life. And he showed a line. He showed a line, and the line was me. And I was following his will, and then I would go up to my will. And then I'd follow that one for a while. Then I'd come back down to his will. And he said, that's your life. He says, but I need you to flatline. And I started, well, flatline, well, yeah. Paul said that we should die to ourselves, right? To our will. So we need to flatline on the will of God and stay there. That's where we need to be, to maintain it. See, we have our moments. We all do. But it's to maintain it. And I remember, you know, I remember me saying, I remember other folks saying it. Anyway, you know that we're sinners, right? We're sinners. And I heard it so much that you kind of look, you know, you don't have the intention to sin that day, but you kind of have the attitude, well, I'm going to sin today anyway. You know, because he says in the Word that we're all sinners, we all fall short of the glory of God. Well, if Yeshua is our example, Yeshua didn't sin. All right, so why would God give us an example that was impossible to meet or to duplicate? He wouldn't do that. God wouldn't do that. Yeshua was perfect. Add another scripture here. This might be it. A little side note here. This might be it. You know, I think we cut ourselves short whenever it comes to that. No, Yeshua was perfect. You know, will we reach perfection? I don't know. I don't know, but we should be headed that way. We should be headed to perfection. Yep, amen. Let me see if this is the one I'm looking for here. But I wrote this one down to go along with you know, Jesus didn't go through all the things he went through that we would be excluded from it. And it's Romans 5:3-5. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proving character, and proving character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we're going to go through some things. But thank God for Yeshua. He's our example. That's the one that we look to. And I think that's all I have. Yep. Well, does anybody else have anything? you'd like to share? Anybody else? All right, well, we're going to pray.